Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Good morning, my friends, and greetings from Sacramento, California, or somewhere nearby. It's good to be with you today. We're in Romans chapter 14, and I want you to look at the verse that we ended with last episode, Romans 14, talking about these issues that we argue about, these petty issues that are not biblical commands that we are commanded to obey, but issues that we bring into our Christianity because of the way we grew up or the religion we were saved out of, things that are heavy on our conscience on both sides. So in Romans 14, for instance, you've got some people that are celebrating the fact that in Christ we have liberty and the dietary restrictions are no longer applicable. They can eat this meat. And yet others who are maybe a little bit more sensitive in their conscience and were really fastidious about obeying those laws, and now they just can't bring themselves to eat that meat. And then you have people that are judging others because you do what I don't do, and people are despising others because why can't you understand what I understand? The Apostle Paul said, stop. Stop. This is not about you being right or wrong. And this has nothing to do with God's moral expectations for you and me. So how do we deal with these gray areas in our Christian lives among other believers that so consistently divide us and separate us? And then what happens is we build our clans around our preferences, which only furthers to strengthen the preference in a bad way, to make it seem as if it's that much more applicable and that much more obligatory, which it's not. And it just becomes a downward spiral instead of just dealing with it. Instead of dealing with the issue from a biblical standpoint, we just continue to divide, judge, and despise. So what's the answer? The answer is always the Bible. So let's jump back into verse number 4, where the Bible says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?" So whose servant am I? Well, ultimately, I'm the Lord's servant. Whose servant are you? You're the Lord's servant. So who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Now, in that society, Paul was writing from Corinth, you know, one out of every five people in the world were slaves in the Roman Empire. So everybody understood the obligations of a servant. And the obligation of a servant primarily was to the one for whom he worked. And that's the illustration that the Apostle Paul's bringing out here, that our primary obligation is to the Lord. Your obligation is to the Lord. My obligation is to the Lord. So why is it sometimes that we feel as if we need to jump into the Lord's place and set everybody right about every nuanced issue? Why is that? Why is it that I feel like, boy, they really have to have the same application as I do? Boy, if they listen to that song, or if they don't wear this, but if they happen to watch that and I don't, what is it about me that feels as if every single person must have the same applications as I do? And if they don't, then somehow Christianity suffers. And nothing could be farther from the truth. I think part of the problem is we are insecure in our own applications. And we find security in sameness. We find security when everybody sees it my way, when everybody applies it my way, then I feel secure, because what that does is it validates me. It's kind of like the way people listen to talk radio sometimes. They're not listening to talk radio to learn something necessarily in some cases, but they're just trying to find the guy, they're trying to find the lady that says all the things that you already believe, but just says it in a humorous or a bold way, so I can say, yeah, I agree with that. If all we ever do is look for all the people that agree with us on every nuance, then really, are we learning? Is that really a spirit of humility? Look at verse number 5. I'm looking at the wrong chapter there. Okay, there we are, verse number 5. One man esteemeth, we would say today, values, one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So Paul says, listen, this principle of Christian liberty, this principle of celebrating the differences that we have and understanding the big picture that we love the same God, we're worshiping the same Lord, we love the same Word of God. This principle applies not only to the issue of meat, but in Paul's day, it applies to the issue of esteeming or valuing one day over another day. So the point I think that Paul is making here is that this principle applies in many different situations. So back in Bible days, back in these days of Paul, think about it. Some of these Jews that were saved out of Judaism were so used to celebrating all of these Jewish holidays, like Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of the Tabernacles and Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, or we would call Pentecost, or the Feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles, and then a host of other days like Purim and Hanukkah. And what do I do now? What do I do now that I'm saved? Do I continue to celebrate all of these holidays that I celebrated from the time I was a little kid? And these were special days, and we didn't work on these days, and we honored God on these days, and we didn't play outside on these days. So what do I do? And some of these Jewish believers were continuing to celebrate these days in honor of the Lord. And what the Apostle Paul said is that's a great thing. If you value these days, and this is a way for you to honor God, and it's a special thing in your conscience, great. But these are not obligatory days. These Sabbath days every single week, you don't have to celebrate them in the legalistic way by what you did back when you were a Jew. So if another Jew chooses not to do that, then don't judge him. So one person's going to esteem this day as more valuable than another day. The point is this, we all stand before the Lord. And we need to come back to a more central issue. And the more central issue is, why do we do what we do? And with what conscience do we do what we do? And with what attitude do we do what we do? And that's what the Apostle Paul comes back to in this chapter. Look at how he does that. Verse number 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Why? Because I will stand before the Lord one day, and so will you, and I will answer for my sincere obedience to Him. So if I'm doing something in violation of my conscience, like this might be wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway, even if the issue is not right or wrong intrinsically, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, this might be wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway, that's a sin. Because there needs to be a persuasion in my own mind that with good conscience, I can do this. And understand that some people in good conscience back in these days were able to say, I don't need to celebrate this day the way I used to. Or others were saying, well, I'd like to continue to celebrate this day. We have some of the same issues today, don't we? You know, some people that are like, I don't want to celebrate Christmas. I think its origins are pagan. I think the Christmas tree is a symbol of pagan worship, and I'm not going to do it. And what I say to those people is then don't do it. If you can't have a Christmas tree and a Christmas celebration with a good conscience, and you feel like this is impinging upon your ability to worship God, then don't do it. Okay. But the point is then don't judge the people that do. And we that do shouldn't despise those that don't. We should take it to a deeper level and say, why do we do what we do? And if that person is doing that because I love the Lord, and that person is doing that because not doing it because I love the Lord, that's good. So there's commonality in the motive. And the motive is we both love the Lord. We have at our church, trunk or treat. Now, I know probably some of you listeners are thinking, I can't believe that you're worshiping the devil. And listen, I've heard it all. Our point is, what a wonderful opportunity to bring people onto our property, to preach the gospel, to show the love of Christ. We're not dressing up like demons and devils. We're having fun with the church family. But we have people within our church family that say, Pastor, I'm just uncomfortable. And I'm like, I understand. And I celebrate your conscience. And I totally support your decision not to be involved in this event. So I think we need to be careful to make these applications to our modern day meets and our modern day preferences of days over other days. Look at verse number 6. He that regardeth the day, verse number 6, regardeth it unto the Lord. So, boy, this person that has this strict conscience, and I don't think we should be playing football on Sundays, and I think this should be a day of rest and honor God and just concentrate on Him. Great. You're doing that for the Lord. That's wonderful. Then the Bible says, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. So, you see how the Apostle Paul said, the bigger issue, the more important issue is, why do we do what we do? And you might do it and you might not do it. But if your common motive is in doing it or not doing it, we're doing it or not doing it because we want to honor the Lord, then that's a great common motive. And let's celebrate that commonality. Let's not argue about the different application. Look at verse number 6 again. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. So here, it's the same point. Whether it be the day, whether it be the meat, let's go to the motive. Now, none of this is possible without individual humility. So would you look at verse number 7, where the Bible goes on to say, for none of us, not one of us, Paul says, liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. A lot of times the decisions we make about our own personal liberty or our own personal standards in that sense are almost as if we live on an island all by ourselves. And what the Apostle Paul said is, listen, your choices and your applications are all made within the context of living with other people and ultimately living under the authority of God. No man lives to himself or dies to himself. Verse number 7, verse number 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's. So if all of us would keep in mind that we don't live on an island, we live in community, and we live under God's authority, the Lord, Lord here is authority. We are the Lord's. We belong to Him. We don't belong to ourselves. So it's not even a matter of me celebrating what I want. It's not even a matter of me saying, well, I have the right to, or I don't have to. That's a very carnal way to look at activities. No, what we ought to be doing is saying we belong to God. All of us, we belong to God. We live in community. And so we need to begin to make decisions based upon the effect it has on other people. And we need to begin to look more deeply at our community and understand that good people can disagree. Good people who have opposite applications on an issue can both do what they're doing because they love the Lord. We got to wrap this up. Verse number 9, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So let's put all of our potential differences within the larger scope and context of the gospel. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again. Why? That we might live this free, gospel, powerful life in community with each other, loving other believers, and together as a mighty force, sending a unified message to a lost and dying world that they need that Savior who died, was buried, and rose again on their behalf. So I hope that helps today. We're going to get into some more specifics here in the next couple of days, but I feel like that's all we can cover for today. So we'll stop right there in verse number 9. We'll come back to an important question in verse number 10. Hope you'll join us for that. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.